You're twice as sure with two great names, Bridget Air and General Motors. Bridget Air presents Hollywood Star Time, direct from Hollywood. Tonight, the radio production of Columbia Pictures' delightful comedy, Talk of the Town, starring Cary Grant, Marguerite Chapman, and your Saturday evening host, Herbert Marshall.
Good evening. Tonight's play, like Beat Borch, I beg your pardon, Borscht, is pink and frothy and leaves an entirely pleasant taste in the mouth. In fact, besides starring the personable Mr. Cary Grant, along with Marguerite Chapman and me, the play also features a stirring performance by a jar of the aforementioned Beat Borscht. The ingredients being mixed and ready for the next half hour,
here's Wendell Niles
for Frigid Air.
Now, Act One of Talk of the Town, with Cary Grant as Leopold Dilg, Marguerite Chapman as Nora, and Herbert Marshall as Professor Lightcap.
Halt! Stop or I'll shoot! Halt! I'll shoot!
Attention, attention all Rochester County and State Highway Police patrols. Be on the lookout for Leopold Dilg. Leopold Dilg, charged with arson and murder. Dilg escaped early this evening from Rochester County Jail and is believed headed for... Come to think of it, we ain't got the least idea where he's headed for. Leopold Dilg is 6 feet tall, 188 pounds, black hair, brown eyes, and somewhat resembling Cary Grant, Hollywood.
Good evening, ma'am. Could I interest you in our line of breakaway bristle brushes?
Heaven's sakes, at midnight, you must be... Leopold Dilg!
I don't know, it's kind of wet out here due to the rain.
Come in. Leopold, the police are looking for you.
I know. Fine weather for dicks.
Leopold, you shouldn't have run away. Now the jury will be sure you're guilty of burning down the Andrew Holmes factory.
Yes, listen, sweetheart, of my barefoot days with Andrew Holmes running this town, they were all set to hang me, guilty or not.
But people did hear you say the factory ought to be condemned and destroyed as unsafe to work in.
Sure, but arson and murder aren't my dish, Nora.
And Bracken, the factory foreman, is still missing after the fire.
I'm sorry if Bracken died in the fire, but I didn't do it.
Shh.
Why?
You can't stay here, Leopold.
Why not? I'm a bachelor, no children, no pets, do not smoke in bed.
Professor Michael Lightcap is rooming here now.
Not Professor Michael Lightcap?
Yes.
Never heard of him.
He's John Law himself.
Don't say.
He's the dean of a famous New England law school down here to rest and write a book.
My.
He's straight-laced and stiff-necked, and he'll put the police on you in a second if he finds you here.
Dear me, I did not set that crummy factory on fire.
But everyone thinks you did. Always going around collecting a bad reputation.
That's me.
Speeches on street corners.
Sure.
Letters to the editor.
Yep.
Petitions.
Yeah.
Protests in council.
Can't stop it.
Squawk, squawk, squawk. What's wrong with you anyway?
I happen to have a bad case of democracy. Now, if I only had a plate of borscht.
A plate of what?
Borscht. Beet soup with sour cream. Polish dish.
Beet soup?
Only a beet soup a mile.
Oh, no.
I should have known. My mother used to make it for me.
Sorry, my boar specialist joined the Foreign Legion.
Then you're going to let me stay here?
Oh, all right. You can hide in the attic.
Good.
I'll bring your breakfast in the morning.
Thank you, sweetheart of my student days. Which way to the attic?
Miss Jerry.
Yes?
This oatmeal is not sufficiently boiled.
Well, I'm very sorry, Professor Lightcap. I'm afraid I don't know my oats as I should.
Miss Terry.
Yes, Professor.
Do you have adenoids?
Why?
I thought I heard the most enormous snoring last night.
Oh, yes. My adenoids made medical history here in Rochester. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Miss Shelley, can you take dictation?
Well, yes. Why?
Can you perform most of the functions of a business secretary?
Definitely. Except I slide off men's laps like crazy. Nothing that a handful of rosin wouldn't correct.
Your flippant manner notwithstanding, I should like you to be my secretary during my stay here. Are you interested?
Well, I could use the money. Sure, I'm interested.
Good. Meet me on the veranda in 20 minutes, ready to begin work, Miss Shelley. But I warn you, I dictate 150 words a minute.
Oh, that's all right, Professor. Some people think more slowly than others.
Hmm?
See you on the veranda.
And it was the aim of the 18th century lawmakers to build the law firmly on principles which are above the small emotions and the loose thinking of everyday life.
Brother, what
build? What?
Oh, dear.
I'll tell you what the law is. It's a gun pointed at somebody's head, pure and simple.
Miss Shelley, who is this person?
Well, that's... he's a gardener. Yes, Joseph. Joseph, this is our new tenant, Professor Lightcap.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Still, your point of view presents certain academic interest.
Thank you.
Yes, it represents the ideal condition. I don't approve of people who think in terms of ideal conditions.
Don't you now?
But I like them.
I'm grateful for your boyish esteem.
People like you are dreamers, poets, tragic figures in this violent existence, but interesting.
Joseph, how are the zinnias growing?
Dying. Now, take me, Professor. I have certain practical relations with the law.
Miss Shelley, don't you...
God bless you.
Thank you. This is getting chilly out here.
Oh, I bet you're catching cold.
I think I better be going inside, Miss Shelley. Excuse me.
God bless you.
I'll come right in and make you something hot to drink.
Thank you.
Leopold, you blithering fool. Why did you show yourself?
Anytime I overhear anyone talk pure nonsense, I get an impulse.
If you're not careful, the next impulse you'll get will be about 2,400 volts.
Let's not be gruesome, my sweet. Besides, they use rope in this state. It's cheaper.
Well, I'm going in to take care of Professor Lightcap.
Hey, you think that beard of his would keep him warm, wouldn't you?
It's a lovely beard. Very distinguished.
Yeah, but you can't kiss a guy like that without getting yourself tickled to death.
Leopold.
Joseph, Nora, now remember, I'm the new gardener.
How does that hot water bottle feel under the blanket, Professor? Holding out all right?
Oh, it's just, it's fine, Miss Shelley, just fine.
Oh, let me see. Now.
Oh, no.
That's cold as ice.
That's all right.
You know, underneath that beard and that dean of law school pie crust, you're just a shy boy, aren't you?
Why, I don't know about that. I'm feeling much better, thanks to you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
I'll tell you frankly, Joseph, I've enjoyed these breakfasts with you and Nora every morning.
Thank you, Professor. Democracy in action and all that.
Oh, no. It's the touch of philosophy in you I like.
Well, he's touched, all right. More coffee, Professor?
Thank you.
did you ever eat borscht for breakfast, Professor?
What's that?
Beet soup with sour cream.
With an egg beaten into it.
Talks about it in his sleep.
Don't let anybody sell it you without an egg in it.
We must try that someday, Nora.
Yeah, well, you can buy it at Pulaski's Dairy Cafe in town. It's right near the burned-down Andrew Holmes factory.
Yes, I've been reading about the fire and that notorious Leopold Bilg person, fugitive from justice.
Or a miscarriage of justice?
Do you think so, Joseph?
Listen, Andrew Holmes, who owned that factory, makes the laws around here. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who put Judge Grunstead on the bench. Grunstead takes all his orders from Holmes. This time, because Leopold Dilg said publicly that his factory was dangerous, Holmes' orders were, get Leopold Dilg.
Oh, come now. I can't swallow that, Joseph. The facts of the case say
that... The facts of the case. What about the heart and soul, the warm human side of the law for a change?
Oh, Hira Holmes.
My dear Joseph, conduct the law on random sentimentality and you have disorder and violence. Of course, I respect your point of view, Joseph, but...
I wish I could respect yours, Professor.
Joseph! Remember your station.
Just a second. My vote is as good as his or yours.
This is just a discussion among friends, Nora, and really delightful, really.
You know, what you ought to do, Professor, is find out what people really are saying and thinking outside of law libraries and classrooms.
Well, what do you suggest, specifically?
Hey, why don't you go to the ball game this afternoon?
Ball game?
Sure, with Nora here. I suggest you sit in the grandstand just behind home plate. About next to where Judge Grunstead always sits, Nora.
Huh? Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, order the tickets right away. They're very choice seats.
Duffelheimer, to be sure.
Oh, struck out. That bush leaguer, he missed it by a mile. Phooey.
Yes, indeed. Phooey. Tell me, Nora, who won?
Well, it's only the end of the first inning.
Oh, excellent.
Excuse me, folks. Sorry. Beg your pardon. Hello, Ara. Excuse me. Sit right down here next to me, Miss Boone.
Oh, this is just grand, Judge. Just grand.
Yes, Reggie. That's why we call it the grandstand.
Why, Judge Grunstead, how nice.
Huh? Hello, Miss Shelley. Glad to see you.
Judge, let me introduce Professor Michael Lightcap, Judge Grunstead.
How do you do, Judge?
This is indeed an honor, Professor, an honor.
Thank you.
This is Miss Regina Bush.
Pleased to meet you.
How do you do?
Reggie was a fiancé of poor Clyde Bracken. Young fella killed in that fire that Leopold Dild set.
I was looking through the ashes again today, looking for the wristwatch I gave Clyde.
There, honey.
All I could find was an athletic medal Clyde won in high school.
They were going to be married next week.
Oh, no.
One day a girl's got a man. 211 pounds, solid man. Next day, bang. All that's left is a medal for shot putting. I met him in the beauty parlor where I work.
Yes, and I was preparing a brilliant opinion on the Leopold Dill case when the scoundrel escaped. Brilliant.
Now, Judge Grunstead, how could you prepare an opinion on the case before the trial was over, before all the evidence was in?
Oh, he was guilty, all right.
Guilty as sin.
Don't you consider it unethical to judge a man before he's been fully tried?
He broke out of jail, didn't he? That proves he's guilty. Oh, here we go. Batter up.
Let's get out of here, Nora. I've had enough baseball for one day. Tell you, Nora, I could hardly contain myself back there in the ballpark. That Judge Grunstead's a fool.
Everybody in Rochester thinks he's charming.
He's a preposterous idiot. Writing an opinion before hearing all the evidence?
Well, that's nothing. You should see the sideshow Andrew Holmes puts out at the ruined factory. Fake tears in his eyes. Sob stories for the newspapers. The poor bereaved bride-to-be of Clyde Bracken. What an act.
I'm furious. Furious, I tell you. I'd like... Oh, look. Tulaski's Dairy Cafe.
So?
Do you mind? I'd like to run inside and buy some borscht.
Borscht?
Borscht. As a surprise for Joseph.
Good. Don't forget the egg.
A present for me, but what is it?
Well, unwrap it, why don't you?
A bottle of scotch?
Do they wrap up scotch in newspaper?
Gee, God. Borscht!
With an egg in it. Special.
Oh, greater love hath no man.
I thought you'd like it. Oh, say, there's something about that factory fire in this piece of newspaper.
Yeah?
I'll throw it away, Michael. It's all stained with borscht.
No, no, wait. I've become intensely interested in the case. I haven't looked at the newspaper for... Oh.
What's the matter, Professor?
Oh, this photograph in the paper and the caption. Have you seen this man?
Have you seen that man, Professor?
Yes, I terribly afraid I have. I'll have to telephone the police. Leopold Dilg?
No, you don't, Professor.
You can't keep me from my duty, Dilg.
I can and I will, by violence if necessary.
Violence has no place in civilized society.
This isn't civilized society the way I see it.
Hello, operator.
Drop it.
It's my duty, Dilg.
Drop that phone.
Take your hands off.
I said drop it.
Leopold, stop it! Oh, Leopold.
Nora? I'll see you later. When he comes to, tell him thanks for the borscht.
You are listening to Talk of the Town, starring Cary Grant, Herbert Marshall, and Marguerite Chapman, with a music score composed and conducted by Johnny Green. continue with Act Two of Talk of the Town, starring Cary Grant, Herbert Marshall, and Marguerite Chapman. Cary Grant may soon be seen in the Dory Sherry production, The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer. Marguerite Chapman appears through the courtesy of Columbia Pictures and may currently be seen starring in Mr. District Attorney. Two days have passed since Professor Michael Lightcap discovered to his deep sorrow that his friend Joseph was really the fugitive, Leopold Dilg, suspected of arson and murder. This morning, Nora and the professor are eating breakfast glumly, minus the presence of Joseph, or Dilg, who is still missing.
I don't understand it, Nora. That blackguard of a Judge Grandstaff, that frowsy Regina Bush woman, Clyde Bracken's grieving fiancée, and Joseph. I mean, Dilg, such a decent, intelligent chap, apparently.
Not apparently. He is.
You're fond of him, aren't you?
Well, I'm fond of you, too. I'm fond of several people.
I see. I looked up Clyde Bracken's last report on the factory. It said, sprinkler system defective.
Professor, could someone else have burned the factory for the insurance?
It's a wild theory to prove.
Okay, it's just a thought.
That Bracken man's handwriting was the writing of a moron. Such odd people, I mean.
Professor, stop pulling at your beard. You're giving me the whim-whams.
Nora, you think he's innocent, don't you?
Of course he's innocent.
That's good enough for me.
But, Professor, that sentimentality and emotion, you don't approve of that.
I need a shave.
Now he finds it out.
I look very young without a beard, really.
Are you feeling all right, Professor?
I only grew it because everybody called me Sonny.
You? Sonny?
Oh, certainly. Listen. First, I'm going to shave off this beard, and then, heaven help me, I'm going to try my charms on a certain Miss Regina Bush. Now, where is this beauty shop she works at, huh, Nora? Would you like to, dance again, Reggie?
Not me. Had too much to drink. Everything's going swimming around.
Yeah. And it's your beauty, Reggie, darling, that makes my head swim.
Oh, I was only a free woman. Sonny.
Yes. But you are a free woman, Clive Bracken's deceased.
No.
Certainly he perished in the Holmes factory fire.
No, here's a letter I got from him just today, from Boston.
And Clive Bracken's alive.
Only he calls himself Charlie Bernard, General Delivery. Wait.
Yes. Yes, I see.
Oh, but I go for you, Sonny. The minute I laid my eyes on you, I said, Reggie, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. This is the big moment. Hey, Sonny. Hey, where did that guy I was sitting with go to? Sonny, where are you?
Nora, are you home?
Yes.
Are you home?
Yes, what is it, Michael?
Oh, great news, darling. I was out with that Regina Bush, and what are you looking at?
Sonny. You don't look a day over 35.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. No, but listen, Clyde Bracken's alive.
What?
Regina let it out to me. General Delivery, Boston. It's a pipe. I mean, it's absolutely simple now.
You're sure of that, are you?
Positive.
Well, in that case, we can go upstairs and tell Leopold.
Did he come back here?
He never left here. I've been hiding him in the attic for the past 3 days. Let's go upstairs and tell him the big news.
And then on to Boston. And Clyde Bracken, alias Charlie Bernard. Let's go.
I see, Professor.
Just call him Sonny. just one of the kids.
Thank you.
You went to a lot of trouble for me, Michael.
Oh, nothing at all.
Well, a dean of a big law college could do himself a lot of harm going through the monkey shines you've performed for me.
Think nothing of it.
Therefore, to prevent any further trouble, I should give myself up and go back to jail.
Oh, quite.
What?
It's the principle of the thing, Nora.
Are you beginning to talk about principles? You, the practical, hard-headed man in your dealings with the law?
Well, a man has to make some concessions now and then.
Concessions? Why do you have to make all the concessions? Why doesn't Sonny here make a concession now and then?
What?
You heard me, Sonny boy.
Concession, she says. I shave off a beard I loved. I dance and drink with a woman I loathe. I think she even made me kiss her in public.
Oh.
And you say concessions.
Well.
Now, Leopold, if you are quite ready.
Quite ready, old friend.
Thank you, Leopold.
Don't mention it, Professor.
Shall we go?
At once, Michael, at once.
Alphonse and Gaston, and both crazy. Both crazy!
Leopold.
Yes, Michael?
I've been thinking.
What, without your beard?
Andrew Holmes has aroused a lot of pity against you in this town, hasn't he?
They'll lynch Leopold on sight if they catch him. You can count on it.
Nora, we have a police force in Rochester.
Yeah, and they all take pay and orders from Andrew Holmes.
Leopold, I've decided to take you on to Boston with us.
Absolutely not. I forbid it. I belong in jail.
I disagree with you.
Will you stop this car at once?
No.
Then I will have to lean over and pull up your brakes.
Stop it! You want to kill us?
Sit down, Leopold.
Oh. Professor!
Sonny to you.
Well, you hit him.
Hit him, hallelujah. I knocked him cold.
You certainly did. Such violence.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, which way to Boston?
There goes somebody up to that general delivery window now, Michael.
Listen.
Any mail here for Charlie Bernard?
That's he. Let's close in on him fast.
Mr. Clyde Bragan?
You got the wrong party.
No, we have not.
Who are you?
Call me Sonny.
If you spell my name frontwards, it's Leopold Dilg.
Dilg? Dilg? Did you say Dilg?
Yeah, don't rub it in. A man can't have everything. Better come along with us now.
Now, wait a minute. Where are you taking me?
Rochester.
I'm staying right here, friend.
The way I look at it, friend.
You're coming with us, friend.
Yeah?
Look out, friend.
See what I mean? So long.
One moment, sir.
Professor, again?
Dean of law schools patters hoodlum all over Boston post office. Will defend middleweight crown twice this year, says Sonny Lightcap. Such excitement.
Leopold Dill, freed of all charges. Andrew Holmes, Clyde Bracken, held by grand jury and big fire insurance racket. Michael Lightcap, hero of Rochester case, named for Supreme Court vacancy.
Just think, you can walk down the streets of Rochester like this again. A free man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks to Sonny. Michael. Professor Lightcap, that is.
Justice Lightcap, now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You said that queerly, Leopold.
You were his secretary, Nora.
Sure. Well?
He asked you to go to Washington with him, didn't he?
Yes.
Nice town, Washington. You will like it.
I don't know.
Fine fella, Lightcap. The kind of life a woman like you belongs in.
Thank you, Leopold.
Well, see you sometime.
Hey!
Goodbye.
You've got your crust. I beg your pardon, mister.
Hmm? Who are you?
Laura Shelley.
Stop following me.
I won't.
I'll call a cop.
I don't want to go to Washington.
He needs you.
All he needs is his whiskers, and he's got them back.
Go away.
I refuse.
Now, look. I am going into this dairy restaurant to indulge a curious appetite of mine. When I come out again, I expect you to be well on your way to Washington, District of Columbia. Goodbye. Waiter, Bosch.
With an egg.
Go home.
I'm too, waiter.
Aunt, please.
Hello there, you happy people. Come here and sit down.
Professor.
Just as like him.
Funny to you. Sit down. Are you married yet? Congratulations.
What?
You heard him. He's got his beard again and he's happy. No.
Waiter.
Bosch.
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 On two.
On three.
With an egg.
Waiter.
Bosch.
Thank you, Cary Grant, Marguerite Chapman, and Herbert Marshall. In a moment, our host, Herbert Marshall, will return to tell you of next week's thrilling story. Talk of the Town is brought to you by Frigidaire through the courtesy of Columbia Pictures, producers of the Technicolor picture, The Jolson Story. Hollywood Star Time is presented each week with the best wishes of your Frigidaire dealer. Now here again is our Frigidaire host, Herbert Marshall.
A slow-moving steamship crawling across the Black Sea. On board, the Nazi underground trying to murder a famous atomic scientist. Manhunt. Suspense. Intrigue. And you might as well come prepared for some real excitement when Frigidaire brings you the great mystery spy thriller, Journey into Fear.
Remember next Saturday when Frigidaire presents Journey into Fear, an up-to-the-minute spy thriller starring our own Herbert Marshall. Until next Saturday at this same time, then, here is our Saturday evening host, calling it a day with his familiar...
As ever, Herbert Marshall. Good night.
Hollywood Star Time was directed by Jack Johnstone. The script is written by Milton Geiger. This is Wendell Niles speaking for Frigidaire, made only by General Motors. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.